Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we are ready to be bought out. That's right, it wouldn't even take that much money. We just want some money. Somebody buy us out. It's happening all over the industry. Right. We will take your money. We will be total shills. Just buy us out. A paltry sum. $1, $2, $3 million. I don't care.
It's not that much. Yeah. For the kind of money that's being thrown around right now. Yeah, seems like pocket change. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We've been for sale for 15 years or whatever now, so.
Seriously, I think we would be the ultimate beard spokesman podcast. Like, I'm willing to change the name. I'm willing to do it. I don't care. Somebody just buy us out. Yeah. That's all I want.
Yeah. Speaking of beards, if you want to see our faces on camera, go be a Patreon, a patron be on Patreon, right? Patron on Patreon.
Yeah.
GamingUncensored.com to do that. Thanks to Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew, who can see the glorious beards right now.
The beards are getting glorious. Mine's like really getting there again. And yours, like...
Right,
yours
it's been what it is for however long at this point. 15 years, so...
Mine just continues to get freaky.
Yeah.
And my question is, how long is it going to be before I shave it? I tell people that when it gets hot outside, I'm going to shave it. But really, honestly... I'm probably going to shave it whenever a woman walks up to me and goes, you know, you really need to shave that.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah. That's the benefit with me is the sexy sidekick has been a part of the whole beard evolution. And so she has been bought in from the beginning because if she wasn't, it wouldn't have lasted this long. So I'm pretty safe at this point.
So very interesting that you brought her up because she had a birthday this week.
She did, yeah.
And last week, I forget what day
it was. Yeah, about a week ago.
It was recently.
A week ago today, I think, yeah.
Yeah. And I have to say, and I say this with total and complete love, but I wonder how many more years it's going to be that she's pumped on her birthday because I saw on Facebook that she wrote that she was excited to see what was going to happen for her 38th year.
Yeah.
And then I sat there and I said to myself, when was the last time I was excited to see what was going to happen in my next upcoming year? So I'm wondering how long that's going to last.
Yeah, I think sub 40, you know, like that's still pretty easy. Post 40, and I'm not there yet, so I'm just guessing. But I'm assuming at that point that you're like, let's see about the next like 5 years or something.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is. Of course, my outlook on things has changed fairly significantly since we started taking CBD.
Right.
And I know you feel the same way. It really makes a difference if you wake up in the morning and you feel okay, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's the key to getting old is just finding
figuring out the ways to medicate.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the key.
For sure. We're not shilling for anybody right now. We'll hopefully be shilling again at some point. But I partook right before the show because of a particularly frustrating 3-year-old moment. So you know, things like that are super handy. Find what works for you. Make your life easier as you get older. Because believe us, you need everything you can as you get older.
That's correct, sir. And I was wondering if that's what happened, because when you turned on the camera, you had that dad voice, that like, hey, man. And I'm like, man, did somebody just die? Like, what did you do? Nope. You had that, like, stressed out dad voice, and I'm going, wow.
Yep. Nope. It's just a 3-year-old being a 3-year-old. Soon to be 4-year-old. She has a birthday coming up real soon.
Yes, she does.
Which is wild that it's almost a 4-year-old in the house. But but almost 4-year-olds bring their own fun, for sure. So, got to deal with that. And then got some CBD oil, which was nice. And, you know.
Yes.
Making things happy.
It certainly helps.
Yes.
It certainly helps.
For sure.
And we'll tell you more about that as soon as they choose to pay us. that's what we're waiting on at this point, is for them to pay us. So, there's that. We do have a lot to talk about as far as news this week. Well, not a lot to talk about.
We got one big thing to talk about, which is becoming the theme of 2022 thus far, is what company bought out which company today. And so we've got the latest acquisition to talk about, and potentially a handful of other things, but that's obviously the big one. So we'll get into that here in just a bit. We also have a few Nintendo things, including the Switch, just is still selling gangbusters and has officially passed the Wii. It's Nintendo's best-selling console, which is just nuts. Just completely wild. So good for Nintendo on that. We'll touch on a couple of other Nintendo things if we have time, and some Star Wars stuff that I'm trying to remember. I don't think we talked about it on the show last time, so I'm thinking it's new news.
No, we did not.
Yeah.
I would remember if we talked about Star Wars.
So we've got some Star Wars news then. It happened, I think, like right after we stopped the last show, like maybe that same day. And so it's been out there for a while, but we'll talk about it too if we get time. And
I'm glad that we haven't talked about Star Wars, because I haven't had time to sit down and watch Boba Fett.
Me neither.
Which is awful.
Yeah.
So can we talk about the streaming service issue? Because the streaming service problem that you and I both have is getting real, in that I have entirely too many streaming services to watch what is on them.
Right, yes.
Like, there's no possible way. For example, I turn on my streaming box, which is my PlayStation 4, and I see an ad for a new show that Amazon now has based around the Jack Reacher novels.
Yep.
And I've read like 19 of those novels, and I've never seen the Tom Cruise movies on purpose,
right?
Because Tom Cruise is like 5 feet tall,
right?
And
he's the antithesis of Jack Reacher, like, just
like
never
he,
made
he's
any
not
sense.
Jack Reacher, yeah. He's not. And this guy that they got looks like Jack Reacher.
Yeah,
so I see that ad and I'm like, well, crap, now I have to watch that too.
Yep.
It's getting insane.
Yeah, this is my kind of short list right now that I'm just so far behind on, and just can't find any time to watch TV recently. I just have had zero. But The Witcher, which has been out, you know, for over a month now, got to get season 2 of that in. Ozark, which I love. Have you watched any of Ozark?
I have not, but I've heard it's fabulous.
Yeah, it's very Breaking Bad-ish. Like, it's not yeah, it's kind of that similar anti-hero, same kind of tone, and then just the way that it like dominoes out of control, like Breaking Bad does. Ozark has a lot of that to it. Just reminds me a ton of Breaking Bad. And then what else? There was something else big that that's like just happened, and I can't even think of it now because there's so many ones that are out there.
You still gotta watch the Wheel of Time.
I've got the Wheel of Time. That's on there. Yep, that was one I was thinking of. Ah, there's one more obvious one. It'll come to me in a little bit, but there's just this ridiculous backlog of like TV, like not just like TV that I want to watch, you know, like this is the thing. It's just like TV that I'm already invested in. I've already watched all the seasons of Ozark. I've already watched the first season of Witcher. Like I need to watch those because I need to know what happens with those because those shows are so, so good. And yeah, it's just like, when can I get the time? Especially those shows. I can't do with a 3-year-old, you know, like those have to happen at a time like, when she's not around. And so, yeah.
It's really hard to watch something like Dave with a 3-year-old. Yeah. Like that's what's the other one? Barry on HBO.
Yeah. That new season comes out, yep. The Righteous Gemstones is another one that the season 2 of The Righteous Gemstones is on HBO now. If you haven't seen that, it's pretty great because it's like making fun of like prosperity gospel world with John Goodman, and it's just Ooh. Like he's like this like crazy prosperity gospel kind of preacher, and it's like the world wow. that's relevant to us and the world that we grew yes. up in, and it's like way over the top, super ridiculous kind of HBO comedy thing, you know, like they kind of have a formula of what they do, and it very much fits into that formula.
So,
but it's really, really funny, and the new season of that just dropped.
I'm glad that you brought that up because I am on my last month of getting HBO for half price. I signed up when they had a deal, and then like a week later, they had where you could get that price for the whole year. And I was like, well, crap. so I ended up with the 6 months, and I'm debating, do I keep it? Like, because I got... We haven't really talked about it yet, but there's a lot of expenses coming up in Gaming Unsensored World, and lots of things that we're gonna have to put together fairly quickly here to be ready for E4, which is gonna be fantabulous this yes. year. We're going to be doing it from the ghetto, but we're going to be doing it with fabulous fiber and huge screens and
all the fun stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, all of that costs money. And so I'm trying to like figure out what I can cut because that's got to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so I'm debating on whether I'm keeping HBO or not.
Yeah.
There's just so much to watch.
There is. And we've got, you know, like all the streaming services too. And it's just like trying to figure out which ones you can let go of. Like there's always like that thing that's like, oh, like I keep that one for this or whatever. So like yeah. HBO has Sesame Street too, you know?
Yes.
And so for like having a kid, we have Disney and we watch Disney every single day. Disney is the streaming service that gets the right. most play in our house because of having a 3-year-old. But we also have HBO and like, we're like, yeah, Sesame Street's really good. And we got to keep that. And Hulu's a no brainer because that's how we get like live TV and replays of everything. And then Netflix has so many things that we like. And now we're like, okay, well now we've got all of them, you know? And so it's just,
And Netflix is the thing because Netflix goes up $1 every year.
Yep.
I just got the email. Yep. From them like yesterday. It's like we're going up to like $15.49 and we're just letting you know.
Yep.
And they always say we're doing it so we can give you more value. No, you're doing it because you can.
Right, because everybody's going to continue to pay for it. So
right, so
until they figure out that point where people don't pay for it anymore, that's going to keep going up.
Yeah, it will. It's going to get to $20 at some
sooner
point.
Than later, yeah.
And with you and I just read a really good post on Facebook about streaming music and musicians complaining about what they're getting paid by Spotify and other places. And this lady, who I do not know, it was a repost from another lady, actually did the math and explained that there's no way that they could pay enough money in any version of reality for musicians to make a living.
Oh, yeah.
So stop bitching. and that's a whole other discussion that you and I need to have.
Yeah.
But that's the problem with all of these services, is that there's, if you go too high, you start pricing people out, and the people that need to make the money really don't make that much more money.
Yep.
And so
yeah.
It's a very interesting problem to have. And the only reason I'm talking about it right now is we're about to have that issue in gaming.
Yes.
We're, that's the thing that's going to happen.
100% on that track for sure. Yeah, it's coming, and then you got to figure out how you're allocating those dollars each month for what games you want to play. Which, I mean, yes. It's already, you know, with Game Pass, that's already a thing. But with Sony's whatever that they're doing, and we're going to hear about that soon, it's going to start, you know, okay, well, I'm paying the annual thing for Nintendo, I'm paying the monthly thing for Game Pass, I'm playing the monthly, like, at what point do I have to let one of those things go, and which one, and yeah, it's, or you just keep getting older and keep getting more disposable money, even though we have less and less time, that you just pay for them all and go, maybe someday I'll get to play them.
Well, and I think that's the key with all of this, is we're just assuming that eventually we're going to have to.
I know. That's what.
The funny thing to me is, like, when I say somebody could buy us out, we're not really kidding.
Yeah.
Because you and I could do this show. We would very much like to do a show based around TV. We'd very much like to do a show based around some other thing. Like, we could do that. Because we have feet in all of these different worlds. And that's the thing. We keep thinking, oh, well, we're going to get time to do this. We're going to get time to do that. No, I think we're probably just going to work till we die.
Yep.
And we're going to look back and go, I can't believe we paid for all that crap.
No, isn't that the truth? Yeah, if we were smart, what we would do, if I was smart, what I would do is just like pay for one service a month and just like stagger them, you know? And like, yeah. Okay, well, this month I'm going to make a point to watch everything that's on Netflix. And so I'll pay for Netflix this month. And then next month I'll pay for HBO or whatever it is. But that would take a lot of work. I'm not interested in that.
Yes,
so
would.
I'm just giving them all my money.
Absolutely.
And we will for Microsoft too.
We should get to gaming because we do have a lot to talk about.
We should. Yeah. So let's, before we get into the big acquisition news, because we'll spend some time talking about that, let's talk about at least a little bit about what we've been playing, which is Guardians. That's about it. But it's worth talking about.
Okay. So here's what I want to talk about on that. You have been playing enough Guardians that I can't play anything else.
Which is good.
Yes, it's great. It's fantastic. I had to take 2 evenings last week. There was enough hours that I had to take 2 evenings last week and not watch HBO or anything else to get caught up with Guardians.
I'm helping burn your cash, man.
And I don't regret it, not for 1 second,
yeah.
Because I will tell you, I was watching this morning. I had to rearrange my Friday to get caught up so that we could talk about the show. I was watching this morning, and it's the first game that I can remember where there's a Moses reference.
Yeah.
Like, he made the Moses reference, and I nearly fell out of my chair. And I, look, there. Every time you play, there's one of those moments, like he made a reference to Die Hard.
That was my favorite.
In one video. It's fabulous. Every time you play, there's one of those moments that just floors me.
Yep.
I mean, just floors me.
Yeah.
And I don't understand this game. I don't understand how this game hasn't won every award, because what I want to talk to you about today is, you and I have been talking about it for a month, right? And we've been saying that it's all about the story and the dialogue and the gameplay is just sort of okay. But let me tell you something, the longer that you go with it, and here's where the discussion point comes in, because the controller's not in my hand, the longer that you go with it and the more of it that I watch, I was thinking this morning, we are underselling the gameplay because you've had your butt handed to you a couple of times. I'm like, there's no way he's going to die here. And then you do.
Yeah.
And it's slowly improving. And I think we've undersold the gameplay aspect of it.
I would disagree with that. Because I do have the controller in my hand. The dying in the game, because I have died a handful of times. It's not an easy game.
Yeah.
But it's not, that's not an asset to the game either. Because it's not that you die because it's like a particular challenge that like you have to figure out or whatever. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. Like, the game's just not that complex, right? Like, the combat's not that complex. You shoot or you melee or you have a handful of abilities that you can use. And there's some strategy with the abilities that you give, like, commands to the team. And so there's some that are, you know, like, supposed to, you know, break their armor or whatever, you know, and then you can do big damage kind of thing. And so there's a little bit of strategy in that of which one do you use when or whatever. But some of it's just like, sometimes like enemies just like get behind you or something that like, I'm like, oh, I died. And why did I die there? You know, like, I'm just like, yeah. It's not like, and I come back and I'm like, okay, like, let's try it again. And it's just, there's not that kind of puzzle piece of it where you're like putting things together to figure out why you died. You just die sometimes. And that, like, the combat again is what it is. It's okay. It's not great. It's not terrible. But that's the sole reason this game isn't getting more accolades than it is, because the narrative, the writing, the cinematic nature of it, like all that stuff, they nailed. The gameplay is pretty meh. Like, even as you kind of level and proceed, like, you get new abilities and that kind of stuff, the new abilities are okay, but none of them like really feel like you're doing stuff better. Like, there's nothing about them that, like, fires you up. Like, I get a new ability and I use it once, I'm like, okay, cool. You know, like, whatever. Like, that might come in handy. And I try to stagger them and, like, use different ones at different times. And it's just like, okay, well, that one is the same as all the other area of effect, you know, abilities. Or that one's the same as all the other, like, damage ones or whatever. And they don't feel like you're doing something cool. I'll stop after this point, but you got me going now. For as cinematic as the game is, the combat's not at all. Like, it has its moments where you have like finishers and like the finishers get a little bit cinematic and they feel cool. But if some of those abilities, like when you get Gamora to do her big, like raining down her massive sword on somebody's head, if that like did a little cinematic cut every now and then and had, you know, like a handful of different animations that would go along with that and make that look super cool when you did it, like to make it feel like it has a payoff, that would make the combat more interesting. But nothing does that in combat. Like, the combat is very opposite of the rest of the game in that it's just not cinematic at all. It needs to be either, like, much more tactics-based, which would be cool, or much more cinematic, which would be cool. But like, it's, like, at this weird point in the middle where it's not doing either one of those things very well.
I would love, if I buy this on PC, which I'm considering, I would love to see a tactics mod, because a tactics mod is the only way that I'm feasibly going to be able to play it.
Sure.
It's just, even as meh as it is, it's fast enough that I don't think there's any way in the world that I could reasonably get through the combat.
Yeah.
So I would love to see a tactics mod. The the thing that I don't understand about it really is what they would have to do. This is not going to make sense when I say it, but what they would have to do to make us happy. Like, I've been looking at it going, how could this combat be better? Because the little cinematic thing that you're talking about, that's a good example. But all of those in every game, once you see them a couple of times, it's like, yeah, I've seen that. Okay.
Absolutely.
And I'm kind of at a loss, because if I were doing quality control right now and they said, how do we make it better? I don't really know what the answer would be, because all of the stuff that you said makes total sense, and yeah, it would make it better, but not markedly better.
Yeah, for sure. It would need to be redesigned, like the combat aspect of the game, because what it is, if people that haven't played, if you played it, then you kind of know and probably just go, yeah, whatever, guys. But if you haven't played it, it's not like random encounters, you know, like the combat is at very scripted moments. And so it just happens, and it's very contrived feeling. And it's just like you get along, like we said last week, or like I said last week, you kind of argued with me, but it's a walking simulator 80% of the time. And that's the part that it does brilliantly. Like, it's a great walking simulator. It's the 20% of the time where it's like, okay, now fight something that you're like, eh, you know, like it feels so separate from the rest of the game that what you would need to do to actually make it good is just to scrap the entire way that they've approached having combat in there, because it does feel like a bunch of people at Square sat in an office and said, let's make a Guardians of the Galaxy game. And they went, oh, here's all the things we can do. We could write all this great dialogue. We could have these characters banter back and forth. We could have, you know, these different big set pieces and these different worlds and on and on and on. And then like 3 hours into the meeting, somebody's like, are we going to have combat? And they're like, oh yeah, maybe so. We should, yeah, let's put that here, here, and here. You know, like, that's kind of what it feels like, is that they just kind of toss this in as like, oh, it's a video game. Like, Star-Lord has guns, so let's make sure he can shoot them every once in a while. And it just doesn't organically fit with the rest of the game. It's not that it's bad. I mean, the game is fantastic. We're loving the game. And so it's not that the combat's so bad that it breaks the game. It's just the combat's the worst part of the game, and it's the most gameplay part of the game. And so it's just, like, the puzzle solving is really good. Like, they did that well. Yeah. It's integrated into the flow of the game. But, like, the combat, it's like, okay, here's a battle. All of a sudden, you're surrounded by walls. It's not, you know, there's no exploration to it. You've just got enemies coming in. There's a few places where they did it better. So when you were dealing, or when I was dealing with all the, like, hordes of enemies coming in when you're trying to get off the ship that's been, you know, like, abandoned and taken over, whatever. Yeah. And, like, you're kind of progressing through the stage, the level, with enemies coming at you at different times. That's the one time in the game that the combat was like, okay, like, this is kind of making sense. You feel there's a reason for it. And a couple of the boss fights, you know, the boss fights kind of make sense. Okay, you're at a big, you know, like, narrative point where you have to have a battle. You have to have a big fight. Those are cool. The other times, like right now, going through the cave where there's just like enemies randomly in the cave, it's just like, it feels like I mentioned at the beginning of this little rant that it's not like random encounters. Like, it feels like random encounters, what that felt like 20 years ago, they're just not random. You know, like, they just don't feel like they serve a purpose in the game, whereas at least in, like, Final Fantasy of 20 years ago, you were grinding and trying to level up. That's not even really a part of the combat. You do level up in it, but because it's fixed, it's not random. Like, there's no grinding to it. It's just trying to give you an excuse to shoot your guns every once in a while.
What you were talking about is actually an enemy gate like that we had in Gauntlet way back in the day, where you have to get to a certain point before they will stop, and if you don't move, they'll just keep going.
Right.
That's what that was. And yeah, that was entertaining to watch, because I'm watching it going, okay, yeah, he's got to figure out where that enemy gate is, or they're just going to keep coming.
Yeah.
So,
and it was by far the most interesting combat situation that there's been in the game.
And, you know, again, it's a fantastic game despite that. And so no knock on the fact that, you know, it's failing there. But that's the thing that keeps it from being an all-time great game.
Well, I'm not sure it's not going to end up being an all-time great game, because this is the other thing that I want to talk about, and then we'll move on to the big news. But you are roughly, your clock's all screwed up, right? Because you pause and you whatever. But you're roughly 7 hours into it, and there's at least five. Like, I haven't looked at the next block of the game, but there's at least five more hours. If they keep this up for five more hours, I don't know how this doesn't turn out to be one of the best narrative experiences ever. If they can keep this up for five more hours, six more hours, whatever there is, you've been going for roughly 7 hours. Okay. If they keep this up, I don't know how this isn't on the list for one of the best narrative experiences ever.
Yeah, it's all in definitions, right? So it's kind of how you define that. Because it's also, like, the way it tells a story is very, very linear. And that's also not a knock. Like, that's why it's so good at telling this story. But it has zero replayability factor to it, to me, right?
That's true.
There's no way that I would ever come back to this game. But that doesn't, like, I'm not saying that as a knock, and I want to, like, I keep saying things that are going to be perceived as a negative. It is perfectly fine for a game to have, you know, no replayability factor. I don't hardly ever replay games anyway, so I've got no problem with that whatsoever. But just from a narrative standpoint, like, it's not going to tell the story any differently. There's a few little, like, you know, like, every once in a while it'll pop up in the corner, like, Rocket took note of how you handled the situation, and then a little bit later, you'll get, like, how that plays out and why that changed what happened. There's a handful of little things that would be different on a playthrough if you decide to do, you know, a couple of the, like, quick, like, respond to this pop-up things differently. But it's not like a Mass Effect or something like that where it's so, you know, dialogue tree driven or anything like that. It kind of is what it is. It is telling a story in a linear fashion really well. And there's nothing wrong with that. It just, to be... It's a limitation when you compare it to bigger narrative games. And that's the only thing I would say of it being, like, all time in that category. Like, to me, like, all time has to be, like, a next level up. For what it is, it's brilliant. And I don't want to diminish that at all, because I'm enjoying the heck out of it. It's not a game 5 years from now I probably think about very often, though.
So... One more quick little point, and then that's what we'll move. To me, it's like I read this story one time about Prince when he figured out that his concerts were sellable experiences, like that like you pay to go to this thing, and yeah, he's playing music, but. You'll go to this thing and you'll have an experience like you've never had in your life. And the next time you see him, it'll be different. Like the to me, this is an experience. I'm actively selling it to people. I had a buddy of mine, and I think a buddy of ours by the name of Drew Hicks. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Drew sent me a random text that was like, dude, I need a really good, like, I've been leaning really heavy into an RPG. And I said, look, it's not heavy, but you got to play Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I said, it's not a Diablo. It's not one of those, but you got to play Guardians of the Galaxy. And when I start selling a game to people that I don't talk to on a regular basis that text us and say, I need a game, that's when I know something's good.
Yes. And I've done the same thing. That 100% there. I have told people that, like, hey, I know this isn't your type of game, but this is worth a play. And you're going to think the combat's stupid, and that's fine, because the rest of the game is so good. Like, you got to get over that fact, and you're going to really enjoy the heck out of this. And so Yeah, that's 100% true. But it has its flaws. I'm not going to pretend like it doesn't. But it's a darn good game. And aside from Metroid, so I'm considering this a 2021 game because it came out in 2021.
Yeah.
Metroid's my favorite. And that's wholly because of my fanboyism. But man, they really executed well on that. And then it's Guardians and Ratchet and Clank. And going into Guardians, I was like, okay, it's going to be good. It's not going to be Ratchet and Clank. At this point, like, I'm enjoying the heck out of both of those games. I don't think I could quantify which one was better. You know, like, they're both so good.
No!
They're really, really enjoyable games. And they're very similar in a lot of ways. The combat, miles better in Ratchet and Clank. The storytelling, better in Guardians of the Galaxy.
And I can't wait.
But they're both these kind of space things. Like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, they're very similar in a lot of ways. So, yeah.
We can't adequately, I mean, we could rant for another 40 minutes and you would not understand what we're talking about until you play it.
For sure.
Because it really is what we envisioned when we were 15 years old thinking about an interactive movie.
Yes.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
And if you're right, we'll probably never go back to play it again. But what it is a master class in interactive entertainment.
Yes.
Yeah, the combat's not there, but everything else is.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. And it's totally worth playing. Even if you're not like a Marvel fan, like neither one of us are like, oh yeah, we love Guardians of the Galaxy. It's my favorite comic. Whatever. We're kind of meh on Guardians of the Galaxy as a franchise. And so it's not just fanboyism in that sense. It just is a good game, and it's really fun.
You know what? I also think we're going to get worse about that if they put out another Guardians of the Galaxy movie, because it's not this.
I know. This is what it's got to live up to now. And I like this Star-Lord better than I like Chris Pratt's Star-Lord, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's the Bautista as Drax in the movie is great. Drax is just my favorite character, period. Guardians of the Galaxy. But this Drax is also great. Drax is by far the best character, in my opinion, in this game. Like, Drax is just amazing. Yeah. So, all that said, let's get to the news before we run out of time for this show. Sony bought Bungie. Hey, that's a big deal. jump right into this. So Sony, let's be clear. Let's just start from this premise, because this obviously happens 2 weeks after Microsoft picks up Activision. This is not Sony responding to Microsoft buying Activision, because these deals take months to put together. So it's not like Sony was like, oh, Microsoft bought Activision, you know, it'd be really fun if we bought the original Halo developer. Let's go do that real quick and make it happen to it. That's not what happened. But I put this on Twitter. If you were scripting this, like, what is Sony's response to Microsoft making a huge acquisition? Sony going and buying the company that made Halo, you can't script it much better than that, right? Like, it's just great theater. And so for the, like, fun of following the industry, it just, like, it puts such a smile on my face of, like, it's kind of like a soap opera playing out here.
Can I say that is by far my favorite use of Twitter at this point? Because I saw it on Twitter before you texted me. And if you had waited 10 more minutes, I would have texted you.
Right.
I think you're right. You can't script this stuff. But what's interesting to me is, what does this mean for everybody else? Because we've talked about how all of these guys know each other. And Sony knew what Microsoft was doing when they did their thing. And Microsoft knows what Sony's doing when they did their big thing. And whatever the next big thing is, they're all going to know what that is. The only people that don't know is us.
Smucks like us, yes.
And so what I wonder is, and this goes back to the discussion that we had way at the beginning of the show about the streaming services and money and all of that, we're going there faster than I ever thought possible because these companies are getting consolidated, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's happening. And if I saw on this vein, I saw the same day that Sony bought Bungie, I saw people complaining about the February games for PlayStation Plus. Yeah. And how they kind of sucked, and one of them was a DLC. And I look at that and I go, it's free games. I really don't care what they are. Just shut up. But there's actually people complaining about that. And so I don't know what this means for the industry and for the show. I think we have the largest amount of uncertainty right now in the gaming industry that we've ever had since we started this show. I have no idea how it's going to end up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a clue.
For sure. A few details on the acquisition, because it is a very different thing than the Microsoft acquisition. That Microsoft acquisition is earth-shaking, right? This is significant, and if not in the shadow of that Microsoft acquisition, would have been really big news, but it's just nothing close to the same level. Bungie has one IP right now. They don't have Halo anymore, like, let's be clear. Like, no. Obviously, Microsoft still has Halo, and so the fact that Bungie was the original studio behind Halo is really fun, but it's not like we were talking a couple weeks ago with the Microsoft thing. It's like Microsoft now owns Crash Bandicoot, which hasn't been relevant, right, at least in my head, for a while. But in, you know, original PlayStation days, Crash Bandicoot was the thing on PlayStation. It was that platformer, yep, thing, you know, that 3D platformer.
That and Tomb Raider.
Yes.
I mean,
and so now that Microsoft owns that, like, you know, it feels kind of significant for whatever reason. Like, this feels maybe less significant. I don't know. Whatever. But Bungie does have Destiny. And Destiny is a huge, huge deal. Like, Destiny is a massive game and it's still very popular. And people that play it love it. And I didn't realize this before the acquisition, but then all kinds of stats came out. Bungie is played by far more on PlayStation than on PC or Xbox. It goes PlayStation, then PC, then Xbox. Yeah, which was surprising to me. I didn't realize that at all.
Nope.
And so, like, you start looking at the numbers, you go, oh, okay, well, it kind of makes sense because they're obviously playing pretty closely together already. But in that, the deal does allow for Destiny, or for Bungie, excuse me, to remain somewhat independent. Like, it's the way that they're describing it is as, quote, an independent subsidiary where Bungie can still self-publish and that kind of stuff.
Kind of like a Naughty Dog kind of a thing.
Yeah, and maybe even a little bit looser because they already have a multi-platform game out there. But we know Bungie's working on a new IP, and so things with Destiny apparently are going to change. I already did a Q&A about this. They say, you know, hey, this is a multi-platform title. It's going to stay on Xbox. Like, suddenly they're not going to pull Destiny off of Xbox or PC or anything like that. And of course, you wouldn't imagine that. Just like Call of Duty, at least for the foreseeable future, is still going to come out on PlayStation because they already have those deals in place, whatever. But that new Bungie IP, which it's going to be a big deal. How big of a deal, we don't know yet. But I'm interested to see what they do there. Is it a timed exclusive? Is it PlayStation and PC only? Do they exclude Xbox from it, but still kind of keep the multi-platform thing because Sony's already doing PC stuff, and so there's no reason that they won't continue to do PC games with a company that's been publishing on PC for years now. That's where it gets kind of interesting. But for Sony, obviously, the big thing is that they're going to be making revenue off of Destiny and whatever Bungie does in the future. That's good for them. They have more control over where that goes, but it doesn't feel like it's going to radically change things. It's not at this point like Microsoft getting Activision and knowing the Activision catalog is coming to Game Pass. That's massive.
So it's massive, and where it changes is if whatever this new IP is really good, they own that and they can say, hey, this is exclusive, it's only on PlayStation.
Yeah.
And we can talk about Sony being multi-platform because they are, but let's be clear that the multi-platformism is a very long version of a timed exclusive.
Yes.
Like, I'm aware that Horizon Forbidden West is coming to the PC, I'm also going to have to wait 2 years before it comes to the PC. Right. Which I'm willing to do. And so, yeah, they're multi-platform, but I don't really see Bungie stuff other than Destiny coming out day one on PC, because that's not what Sony does.
It's not so. Currently. I wouldn't put money on it, but I would think it's better than 50-50 that Bungie's, if they, whatever that new IP is, if it makes sense as a PC game, which is a big if, but if it makes sense as a PC game, and most games do at this point, I bet it's pretty close to day one, a lot closer than like God of War or Horizon, that kind of stuff it's been. And to be fair, those have been Sony's kind of first foray into getting into PC gaming in the first place. And so that gap may close a little bit, just as Sony establishes both themselves as a player in the PC gaming space a little bit more through their subsidiary developers, but also as, and this is the other caveat with this whole thing, as they announce whatever their subscription platform is going to be to rival Game Pass. Of course, they already have subscription platforms with PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now, but the combining of those things and making it an on-demand service like Game Pass, which we know is coming, do they do that on console and PC like Microsoft has? If they do that, then I think there's no doubt that whatever that Bungie game is will be on PC day one, because they're going to want that as a leverage for their service if they're going to compete on PC with Game Pass. I don't know that they're going to choose to do that or not. I think it would be wise for them to. But this is the other thing, is they're going to do that service. Like I think you can expect with Call of Duty, at least for the foreseeable future, where Call of Duty is going to continue to be multi-platform, but it's going to be included with your Game Pass subscription. Like, people aren't going to go play it on PlayStation as much, because it's going to be a rationale to go get an Xbox and a Game Pass subscription, right? Like, that's, you get it as part of the subscription, and you get all these other games. Why are you going to go play it on this console where you have to pay $70 for it? Like, that'll be the same thing with the Destiny DLCs going forward, or whatever this new IP is from Bungie, is it's going to be a part of the PlayStation service economy, but it's not going to be part of the Microsoft service economy. And so you either pay for it out of pocket on the Microsoft platform, or you get it included on the Sony platform. And if you're slups like us that pay for it all, because that's what we're going to end up doing, you get all the games and it's great. And you just don't have any time to play them. But that's going to be the leverage that they have with Bungie, is not that they're going to necessarily make it console exclusive, but that they're going to make it exclusive to their service. And so that you're incentivized to come play it on a PlayStation service platform, not a hardware platform per se, if they do it on PC, but who knows. But that's obviously the leverage, and it's a big acquisition for Sony, and Sony says they're not done.
Oh, it's a huge deal.
Yeah, Jim Ryan is saying there's more in the works, and I guarantee you that's true. Again, there's been so many rumors about Sony going after one of the Japanese developers. Konami, Capcom, Square Enix, I think, are the big three there. Konami, to me, just makes tons of sense. Konami's a company that just hasn't been super relevant recently, and so you would think you could get them at a pretty good price. And you could reconnect it with Kojima, because Kojima's part of Sony at this point. Well, Kojima Productions is under kind of the Sony World thing. And so then you could bring it back together and have Metal Gear come back with Kojima involved, because it's all under the Sony umbrella. And that would be, again, that would be not nearly what the Activision acquisition was, but that would be a big deal in the gaming world. Or Capcom, for crying out loud. Capcom making Resident Evil. Can you imagine Resident Evil coming exclusively to PlayStation consoles? Like, that would be massive. Or Square Enix and everything that they make, you know, like any of those would be significant too.
I'm glad that you brought up those three, because all of those pretty much started exclusive on Sony.
They did. They all have really close ties to PlayStation.
Resident Evil was a Sony exclusive title for a long, long, long time. And so was Metal Gear, and so was...
Yeah.
So those three examples are great examples, because those types of titles from those companies are what made us buy PlayStation.
100%.
Like, you couldn't get those anywhere else.
The sole reason we bought a PlayStation 3 was Metal Gear Solid. sole reason. That's right. we waited for that PlayStation 3 until we had to play Metal Gear Solid 4, and then that was the point that we went and bought PlayStation 3 with the bundle. Like, that's I can't remember very many like console game bundles that I've bought, but that PlayStation Metal Gear bundle was a bundle that I bought.
I'll remember that for the rest of my life because we paid $600.
That's a stupid price on the PlayStation 3. And that's why nobody bought it at first, right? And you had to have that game. And for us, that game was Metal Gear. That's what made it something to buy. And so, yeah, of course, that would make a ton of sense for any of those. Final Fantasy under the Square Enix umbrella, Resident Evil under Capcom. And there's a bunch of games for both of those companies that are big deals outside of those. But those are kind of big ones that come to mind. And so, yeah, it wouldn't be surprising to see one of those come under the Sony umbrella at some point either. Nintendo, on the other hand, is saying, y'all have fun. We're not going to be a part of this. And this is like both the, like, if you were defining to me, Nintendo's either going to be a buyer or going to be bought in this kind of acquisition arms race. To me, Nintendo is a company that's more likely to be bought than to be buying these companies, right? Like, Nintendo's not going to go buy Capcom or Square Enix or something like that. But Nintendo could be bought by Sony or Microsoft. I think both of those scenarios are incredibly unlikely, right? Like, I don't see Nintendo being bought out. But if you were asking me whether or not Nintendo is going to be a player in this, like, acquisition arms race or going to be one of the pawns, I would say they're more likely to be a pawn than a player.
So I will repeat what I said last show. I understand that what you just said makes logical sense because everybody's got a price.
Right.
Like, I came on the air and said, y'all can buy us up. Believe us, we have a price. Somebody give us enough money, we're out. Okay?
1,000,000%, yes.
And so everybody's got that price, but I'll repeat what I said last week is, Nintendo doesn't care about money. They don't care. So again, they have a price because they're just like everybody else. We're humans. We like money. Money allows us to have freedom. And I can just imagine what would happen with the two of us if this show got bought out and what we could do with that. Let me give you a hint. It would be something gaming related. It just wouldn't be on this show. Like, somebody gives us a check, we're going to go do something gaming related. Like, we're not going anywhere. We're just going to take the money and run. And so that could happen with Nintendo. The difference is they care a whole lot less about money than your average bear.
Yes.
And I can't really, because I can see them pissing people off. Like, whether it be Microsoft or Sony or whatever, people coming at them with these astronomical numbers, and Nintendo just going, nah, we're good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're spot on. The by far the most likely thing is Nintendo just keeps on doing what they're doing. And, like, Nintendo has their own stuff. Like, they don't need...
I mean, that they have the best-selling console, like, exactly. Ever.
I've teased it. Here it is in the show notes. That the Switch is now Nintendo's best-selling home console ever. 103.54 million units sold since 2017. They're doing fine. Like, they don't have the market cap that some of these other companies have, but they're doing exactly what they want to be doing, and they're not going to be not relevant. Like, they want relevancy. Like, everybody wants relevancy, right? Like, they want relevancy, and they've got that. There's no problem with Nintendo being relevant in the gaming space. They are killing it still on that front, and they can continue to be that, like, plucky little game company that doesn't do anything else, because obviously Sony and Microsoft do a million other things. Nintendo makes video games, and they make a quirky kind of video game that's not Call of Duty or Metal Gear. They make Mario Golf that I still play on a pretty regular basis. You know, like I pick that up all the time, just randomly here or there. They've just added a whole bunch of new courses that are great. And it's just like, I fire it up every, you know, like couple of weeks and there's a new course and I'm like, cool, you know, fun. Like, let's go play some whatever. Majora's Mask is on the expansion pack for their online. Like, that's what Nintendo does. They don't need more companies to do that. They don't need a bigger parent company to do that. They're perfectly fine exactly where they are. And yeah, I think that's just, they're happy there. That's where they're going to stick.
And I'm good with that.
Yeah, like, me too.
That's
to me, like, that's kind of the purity of the game industry. Like, I'm kind of like, is this Microsoft thing a good thing for gaming? Is Sony getting into this arms race a good thing for gaming? Thank God we still have Nintendo that just does what they do.
Look, I want to be clear. I feel a whole lot more Orwellian about what's going on than I do, like, okay, this is going to be awesome for the gaming industry. Like, I love game. I love Game Pass. I love all of that. I love the access to the games that we have. But I have this huge voice in my brain that's getting louder and louder every day going, this is not good.
Yep.
This is not good because there's huge potential for a crash coming again. It happened once. It could happen again.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I really do feel like I understand there are good aspects to what's going on right now, but that voice in my head is starting to scream, this is really bad.
Yep, I agree 100% about that. And again, I'm not worried about Nintendo as part of that conversation. One other thing from Nintendo, just really quick. MLB The Show, which until last year was a PlayStation exclusive, and then it dropped on Microsoft platforms, including Game Pass, which was already kind of wild, is now also going to be on the Switch this year. And so MLB The Show, which is the MLB game that exists at this point, is now on all three major consoles, which is great. I love that. Fantastic. Still published by Sony, which, okay, whatever. Like, awesome. So that'll be there too. A couple of quick things. I mentioned the Star Wars thing. So let's talk about the Star Wars thing just really quick here. So we know about new Star Wars coming from Quantic Dream, and there's been so many stories rolling around online about how that game's already in development hell and like just as a mess at this point. So we'll see whatever happens with the Quantic Dream game. But EA has announced that they are working on three new Star Wars games, which will include, and this is, I believe, all of this is from Respawn, which is the very good news of this. But the one that I care about the most is that there's going to be a sequel or a continuation of the Fallen Order, the Jedi series, Jedi Fallen Order.
Did you finish that?
I never finished it. It's one of those that I'm like, man, I got to go back to. I just noticed that it's on EA Play, and so we've got it. It's part of your Game Pass subscription, and so you can go play
it. That's one that I would like. I mean, it's not that long of a game, but that's one of those that I would like to restart.
Yeah.
And play in the same room, because I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I do too. It's such a good game. It's the best Star Wars game that's been put out in recent memory for sure. And so that's going to continue with Respawn. That's great. Also a first person shooter. Whatever. Like, to be a Star Wars is a first person, but that's not Battlefront. That's something different. And so
I do not want to play a game as Han Solo. How many times do I have to say that?
Isn't that the truth? Like, if you did it with the like Guardians of the Galaxy kind of like approach, you could make it kind of cool, right? But they're not a first-person shooter. And then this one is the one that I don't know anything about, but I'm interested in, is they're working on a strategy game of some kind. That could be interesting.
So, like a tactics style.
Sure.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a Ground Control or a StarCraft or a...
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of different directions that you could take that. It doesn't give us any more
I can't believe I just brought up Ground Control from like 2000. That's still one of the best real-time strategy games ever. Thank you very much.
You could totally do that. I'm trying to see... Because it's Bitreactor that is the other studio involved here, along with Respawn. Bitreactor was founded by guys that were originally developing XCOM. So, like, put all that together, you get Respawn and the original XCOM guys working on a Star Wars strategy game. Like, that could be really cool. Like, it has a formula there to be a great game. Like, Star Wars history in video gaming is real hit or miss. And so if you're making three games, I'm going to bet on one of them having a chance of being good and the other two probably not, just based off the history of Star Wars. And if I had to bet on one being good, it's going to be the Jedi game from Respawn being good. But XCOM guys with Respawn working on a strategy game, like Star Wars XCOM, you could do that in an interesting way, whatever, you know. So anyway, all that to say, we're getting more Star Wars from EA that's not just Battlefront, which makes me happy.
We can't even handle all the Star Wars we got. I never really thought that I would, that the Book of Boba Fett would be a month out, and I haven't even touched it.
Yeah. So, we're pretty Star Wars overload at this point.
Yeah, and we knew it was going to happen when Disney bought Lucas. That was going to happen. I think I'm getting jaded. Like, give me the good Star Wars and skip all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Give me the good stuff. Which, can I get some more Mandalorian, please?
Which apparently Boba Fett just turns into Mandalorian is kind of what I've gathered from seeing people talking about it. So there you go. Maybe that's it. But I've heard like real mixed reactions on Boba Fett, but I'm going to watch it. That's on the list with everything else.
Absolutely.
Real quick, I'm going to mention this one. Go by the show notes, gamingunscensored.com, so you can read this interview, because the interview is worth reading. We don't have time to get into it right now. But Ubisoft did an interview, a couple of the execs at Ubisoft did an interview, talking about the whole NFT thing, because Ubisoft is that company that's going to go head first into the NFT thing. That the interview is something to behold, of basically just saying, yeah, we've heard people complaining about it, us doing NFTs, and they just don't get it yet. And we're going to keep doing it until gamers get that this is cool, which is a pretty, you know, brazen thing to say. We'll know, and it does make this note in the interview. Both of these execs are French, because Ubisoft is a French company. The interview was done in English, and so neither of these VPs are VP or whatever the other guy is at Ubisoft. Neither of them, English is not their first language, and so it could be coming across a little bit harsher because, A, they're French, and that's just kind of the nature of French people, and B, because it's not done in their native language. One just real quick story. So many, many, many years ago, when we were first starting doing this show, it was in the first year of the show, the Sexy Sidekick and I got to go to France and a handful of other European countries. But I will never forget this one interaction in France at a random, like, it was like a gas station or something, but they had, you know, like a kind of like buffet kind of thing where you go through, but there's like people serving you. And so you tell them what you want and then they give it to you or whatever. And so like this, you know, lady behind the counter was like, okay, what do you want? But obviously she was French and I was English. I speak English. And so the language barrier was difficult there. And so I was getting some sort of fish, and it looked good and I was happy about it or whatever. And then she asked me if I wanted the sauce on it. And I was like, nah, I'm fine. Whatever. You know, like, I don't care about the sauce. And it like both greatly offended her that I didn't want it. And she found it super humorous. It was like, hey, look at the stupid American that doesn't want the sauce on the fish kind of thing, you know, like just berating me in this line getting food because I said no to, I'm like, why'd you ask me in the first place? You know, whatever. Just like, that was the moment I was like, French culture's different. Like, you guys are different than us. Yes. And so when I was reading this, it immediately brought that interaction that I personally had had to mind. Screw y'all. Like, this is what we're doing. And, like, y'all just don't get it yet. It's cool. We promise. You'll figure it out. It's just this brazen thing that, again, is super Ubisoft.
French people really don't care if they piss other people off.
Not even a little
bit. Because because they're better than everybody yes. else, and they know it.
They do. Like, and they will let you know it. They're not shy yes. about it.
And so I'm not surprised at this at all. It's a big, huge, massive mistake, but I'm not surprised about it at all.
100%.
I saw a thing. I have to say this on that. I get like a dig newsletter every day, and I've got it for like 10 years. Like
yes, I do too.
Signed up for the thing when dig was cool, and I still get the thing.
I do too.
And the headlines catch me. Before we started the show, I saw a headline that was talking about Meta losing $200 million, $200 billion in one day.
Yeah.
Right? And that was the largest operating loss or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I've been screaming at you people for a year that you don't have a clue about the metaverse and you're going to lose your shirt. And the only reason you're going to survive is because you are Zuckerberg and Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, there are people messing around in this stuff that do not have a clue.
Yeah. For
sure. And it's going to be hilarious to watch.
Yeah.
It really is. One comment I have to mention. I read a comment on the story that this guy was like, I know what happened. He was like, a lot of people bought Facebook last quarter, and then as in the stock, and then they changed their name, and like a guy looks at his stock portfolio and goes, what the crap is this? And yeah. sells it, you know, because they didn't know.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
it just will.
It's yeah. That's definitely not what the losing that much market share is about. But they just it's ridiculous. They're at the point where the tides are turning against them. That they're no longer that sexy tech company that everybody has to be behind. Now it's getting pretty trendy to be pretty anti-Facebook, and so it was inevitable that we were going to see this. Two things, because I, speaking of social media, and we talked about Twitter a little bit ago because it's such a good place to get news. A couple of things I just noticed on Twitter that we needed to talk about that aren't part of show notes, but I'm going to bring both of them up. Rockstar just earlier today tweeted out that, hey, y'all have been asking about a new Grand Theft Auto game, and here's some news. We're working on a new Grand Theft Auto game, which is like, of course you are. Like, that's not news. Show us something. just like, but I've just seen it so many times on Twitter. Like, people are like, oh my God, Rockstar's working on a new Grand Theft Auto. It's like, obviously, guys, like, they're not going to be working on Grand Theft Auto ever. Like, they will all, that is, whatever. But the other thing I have to mention that I was going to put in the show notes and I forgot until I saw it on Twitter a second ago. The trailer for the Halo TV series ran during one of the NFL playoff games. By the way, these NFL playoff games have been insane. Yeah. Just great.
Yes.
That Halo TV show looks awful, right? I don't know if you saw the trailer for it. My goodness, it looks bad.
Did I? I have not. I've seen the initial trailer.
Yeah.
But I have not seen the one you're talking about. But did I rant about how bad the Paramount
you
Plus
did.
App was on this show? Did I do that? Because it's awful.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that they are charging people $10 a month. It's awful.
Yeah.
I cannot express to you how bad it is. And I don't know what they're going to do to fix it, because the app just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And when you go to their forums and their responses, just open it on a web browser and cast it. I'm not gonna do that. Sorry.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not real surprised that this show may end up being.
There are at one point in the trailer when everybody's found and pointed out a million times, which is super entertaining. There's a Chevy Tahoe in the background. Like, there's this like panning shot where there's like a Spartan fighting a Covenant guy with a sword. And then there's a like Chevy Tahoe, like not even like a new Chevy Tahoe, like it's covered in junk, like mud and stuff in the background. So it kind of blends in, but just like, oh, it's on a like alien planet and there's a Chevy Tahoe sitting there from 1998 or whatever. Like, just pitiful stuff. Like, I was really excited about that, and I saw that. I was like, this is not good. It's just not good. It's just, we'll see what happens with it. Maybe it'll surprise me, and it actually ends up being a great show. I've been wrong many times on my initial thoughts of a TV show or a movie that turned out great. I'm not having high hopes for Halo at this point.
To balance it out, and I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard from multiple people that work for TV that I know that one show that they do have that is apparently really good is this show called Ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
If you like comedy, show called Ghosts is apparently really good.
It does look interesting.
I've not watched it yet.
Yeah, but I haven't either, but it looks so interesting. Super quick on the release front, a couple of notable ones this past week. Dying Light 2 is out. I saw our boy Sam is playing that. And so let us know about
he's
it.
He's back!
He's playing some games, which is great. In between making guitars, and getting some gaming game, which is good. Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection, which is Uncharted 4 and The Lost Legacy remastered for PS5, apparently is good. And apparently Lost Legacy, for some people, is the best in the Uncharted series. I haven't played that. I'm like, we got to get that in the hopper sometime.
That's the Claudia Black character, right?
Yes.
Her? Yep. I can't remember her name. But
Chloe?
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. Whatever. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it's been so long. And then there's a new Pokemon game out on Switch that's getting really good reviews. Not our thing, as we've talked about a million times. But in kind of the realm of game releases, kind of a big week. We haven't had one of those yet in 2022. And so some momentum going into when we will see some bigger game releases in the next couple of weeks. We've got Elden Ring and Horizon, both of which have gone gold. And so they're coming. Elden Ring in a week, I think, and Horizon in two or whatever it is. Big games on the horizon.
Okay, so
unintentional pun there. Did you get my big games on the horizon?
On the horizon. I got it. Okay, I got it. So real quick, because you brought it up, we've needed to wrap for like 10 minutes, but I'm just going to talk about this. I'm not sure about Elden Ring because I watched this video about this from this guy that played Elden Ring in the beta, and we all know that it's a Souls-like game, right? We all know that that's what it is, and we all know what that means and what we're getting into. Essentially, what it means is that's really hard. It's going to be really hard. I don't know if I want to play that in a fantasy environment like that. I don't know if I want to continually have my head on a swivel trying not to die when I'm looking at how fabulous this game is.
I know.
Like, I don't know. So I'm wondering your thoughts on that. I know you're way excited about it. I'm kind of like,
well, I mean, I'm not a big Souls guy, and that's the thing, is like the From Software thing has this huge, huge following that just you and I have never gotten into. And so I want to play Elden Ring because of the hype surrounding it and like just the understanding that it's a big deal. Like, I get that From Software is so massive and the people, you know, adore these games. I've just not been able to get into them. And so it's one, like, Horizon's a no-brainer. Like, we know what Horizon is. We're going to adore that game. Elden Ring is one that I'm going to have to watch, you know, like, the reviews come through. And it's going to have great reviews. If it doesn't, like, that would be massively shocking. Like, it is the game that is set up to have great reviews of any game that's coming out in you know, any recent time frame. But if it has great reviews, then it's going to be like, okay, is this the Souls game to get into? You know, like, if I'm haven't ever been into Souls games before, is this approachable enough that I'm going to be able to pick it up and feel like I'm having a good time with it? Because we did that, like, we picked up Demon's Souls, the remake for PlayStation 5 is one of those first games, and I played it for, you know, a little while and just couldn't get it to stick. I don't know why it didn't speak to me. Like, one of it is just that aesthetic isn't really my thing. And I know that for a lot of people, like, the aesthetics of the Souls games is a big part of it. I just don't really get into that. And Elden Ring has a lot of that. And so that's, you know,
is what it is. It's less of that to me, at least from what I've seen of it so far, than like, you know, Dark Souls is or something like that. Can I get past the aesthetic part of it? And is the gameplay approachable enough that I'm going to have fun with it? Or am I just going to feel like I'm just getting owned and not wanting to put in the time to learn the mechanics, which is kind of how I felt with Demon Souls.
That's what I wonder about, because the guy that I saw that had played early and had played several hours was going nuts. Like, this is the most awesome thing you've ever seen. It's the best Souls game ever. Like, I really just really enjoyed it. And I'm watching it going, I don't know if I want to worry about getting smacked every 30 seconds. Like, it's the same reason that I don't like to play PvP in
right.
MMOs. Yeah. I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, it's a little bit the opposite of what we were talking about with Guardians, right? Like, at least the other Souls games is just pure, pure gameplay experience. And the narrative is so convoluted and weird. Nobody knows what's going on ever. Like, can you tell me an interesting enough story with this one to make me want to figure out the gameplay? Because I am 100% convinced, because I know enough people and respect enough people that love the Souls games, that if I was able to get into a game without the gameplay being the thing that got me interested in it, that I would get into the gameplay eventually, right? Like, that's the thing. It's right. Like, I think I would buy in eventually to it. But you've got to get me, you got to hook me some other way, because I'm not that into the gameplay at this point, you know? And it's like, even like talking about Jedi Fallen Order, that's a Souls-like in a lot of ways. Like, it's to me, like, having played, you know, other Souls-likes-ish there, much more approachable than something like Dark Souls or Demon Souls especially. But, you know, like, I got into the combat in that. The combat in that was pretty fun. Like, I figured it out. But it was because it was Star Wars, A, and I've already got a foot in that world, as you mentioned earlier, where we've got feet into different places. Star Wars, I already do, but like Souls world, I don't, and I don't really care. And then it was a less steep learning curve than the hardcore Souls stuff is. And so that's where you got to get me with Elden Ring. So all that said, we're going to play it at some point, but just how much we play it and when we play it are the big questions.
Well, and the interesting, we got to go, but I got to bring this up. I think Sony's in a really good position right now, because they have by far the most powerful console, and we have one. And so, like, all of these games that are coming, like, I'm going to pick Elden Ring up on the PC at some point if it's really good, but, like, I'm not going to do that until I get a new PC, because there's no point. And so we're going to play a ton of games on the PS5 because we have one and they all look fabulous. And that puts Sony in a different place. I'm not going to say than they've ever been, but it puts them back to where they were with the PlayStation 2, where they had all the cool stuff and nobody had it.
And the cool single player stuff, right? Like, that's the real trick here, you know, is like, I don't have to worry about, you know, network connections and sitting in lobbies and that kind of stuff with the games that I want to play on PlayStation.
Right.
You know, like that's a different thing than what Microsoft does. That's not a knock on it, but for us, for what we enjoy doing, Sony just delivers that better and has those games right now. So, yeah,
absolutely.
All that said, we need to wrap.
Yes, we do. And I will tell you, you need to go by the Facebook page, because there's interesting stuff always going on the Facebook page, including another podcast posting on our Facebook page on a regular basis. And I'm trying to keep from saying something to that guy, because I want to be really, like, inclusive and everything,
right.
But it's getting to the point where it's like, come on, man.
Hustle where you can. I respect the grind. He did post. I haven't watched it yet. I've you know, not been like, oh, I need to go watch these. But he did post one about this new game that just came out of Early Access that I've had on my wish list for a long time, that's called Not For Broadcast, I think, that you, like, play the part of a television switcher. And it's like a real video, you know, that you're like having to make choices on like when to censor or cut to different ads and like all this stuff. Right. And just with our broadcasting background, it's been one that I've just had my eye on. It came out of early access this past week or two, and I'm going to pick it up. I very nearly did in the Steam sale and the Lunar New Year sale, which is over now, and I didn't. But I'll pick it up the next time it's on sale because I'm really interested in that.
Lunar New Year sale still going on Epic.
Yes. Epic Games still on sale. So if you haven't picked, I don't know when that ends, probably pretty soon. So maybe by the time you listen to this podcast, it's not there. But go buy cheap games or don't buy games at all and pay for Game Pass and play them that way.
So definitely go over there, check out Twitter. If you want to see our faces, which we don't understand why, become a patron, because that's why we're doing this show on video and I wear these stupid glasses every show. You need to become a patron if you're not a patron. We promise the fun part with Patreon's coming up in the next couple of months. Because we're about to spend more money on this show than we've ever spent, ever, putting this year's E4 together. So we're in for some really good stuff, and it is time to become a patron if you are not. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
We have to mention the Twitter. Because we don't mention the Twitter every time, but it's at PodcastGU, correct?
That's correct. At PodcastGU. Right. Come follow us and interact with us over there. Our boy Logan. I love Logan, man. Logan's on top of every tweet we post. And so I appreciate you over there.
I have to bring that up because we have 10 followers. Right. Okay? Yeah. And I know that there's more of you people out there because I have 465 people following me and I'm a Twitter idiot. Okay. So if you're not following the podcast, please go by there and follow the podcast on Twitter because Tommy does tweet some very interesting things.
For sure.
So definitely go by and do that. Other than that, I think that's it. Is there anything else?
I think we're good.
I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We're Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.